You're very welcome into the second hour of the 9 till noon show. How are you all doing? Hope your Tuesday is going well for you. Coming up shortly, Garda Grainne Doherty will join us for Community Garda information later on in this hour. We're going to be talking about Donegal's game on Saturday and the fact that it is on Saturday. And we want your views on all of that. 086 60 25000. That's the WhatsApps and text number, 086 60 25000. Or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Now, we were talking about the A5 in the first hour, the fact that a judge has said that it can't go forward. And Deputy Charles Ward of the 100% Redress Party, he happens to be travelling to Dublin on the A5 on a bus, and he sent us this voice note.
I'm actually on the bus on the way down to Dublin, outside Silver Mills Tea Rooms, just past OMA. A car just literally, as we're going past, has went through a pole, and the people got out of it, they're okay. A BMW, crazy road. This is absolutely life in your hands job, driving on this road. I've never actually seen somebody getting out of a car like that. Thank God they're all right.
And it's not unusual that whilst we're talking about the dangers of the A5, that a collision happens on it. Such is the nature of that road. We appreciate Deputy Charles Ward's messaging in there. And of course, you can send your voice messages into us as well on WhatsApp, 086 60 25000. Why has no county board come forward to say that this is wrong and unfair to Donegal players? All we want is a fair deal. Too much to ask for. Shame on the GEA powers that be and to the county boards throughout the land for not speaking up in support of players who've given their all to the game. That comes in from Manon Carn, Donna. And I don't disagree with you. I don't think we could expect other county boards to sort of say, I mean, at the end of the day, any team will take any advantage. Look, the game on Sunday, Louth were delayed. Donegal forgotten again by the bus driver, seemingly. He ended up in Sligo. And they were looking for a 15-minute delay of the game. It wasn't given to them. I think it's the ref probably makes the final decision in relation to that. But the TV channels and others would have their say as well. So, you know, did we take that potential competitive advantage and not worry too much about the opposition? Probably, if the truth be told. Good morning, Greg. In relation to this decision on the A5, the done given to Derry Dual Carriageway went ahead without all the delay issues. A great road now. That comes in from John. For people travelling to Dunloe, from Dunloe to Crawley, there's a Gaeltacht school on in Lochinure at the moment. Please be aware there are lots of young people about, so it's busy. Please be cautious, slow down. Someone could easily be knocked down. And I do find that in different parts of this county, when people come into it, they sort of are on a summer vibe. And you do, as I say, you do see that around, you know, places like Bundoran, Lochinure, you see it in Downings, that people come into an area, they're on their holidays, and it's almost like they feel, and it's not necessarily criticism, it's almost like they feel they're in a big, massive adventure park that they can just walk wherever they like, however they like. That's just part, I suppose, living in an attractive location to tourists, and they may not be listening to this show because they're not from here, so we have to be extra careful, I suppose. Hi, Greg. It's clear from yesterday's ruling that the A5 has been blocked due to the Stormont government. Kimmins should be sacked, says that caller. Somebody is deliberately messing up on the planning. It's an inside job, Greg. It keeps happening for this road. I can understand your frustration and where you might come to that decision. Can families of the bereaved sue the government over the A5 delay? I used to work in Dublin and be on that road all the time. Every time I left home, I was afraid until I got off it. I would say the last thing the families want to do, and I'm not sure, maybe they are, is find themselves dragged through the Northern Irish courts for years upon years upon years as they try and grieve their loved ones. Could they potentially? I presume there's a lawyer would take it on. Have they a motivation to do so? I'm not sure. Would it speed things up? No. Morning, Greg. Who's actually blocking the A5? I know the breach they are talking about now, but rumours from people in the area are that people of certain religions are deliberately putting spanners in the works. Did you hear that argument anywhere? No. I'm not sure if there's a religious breakdown of the landowners and those that are opposed to it, to be honest with you. Given our history, is it possible that certain tranches of land are owned by people of certain religions? Potentially, I don't know. Regarding the A5, we can't be environmentalists and rip up land to put a road through. Climate change and the environment are given too much power. We can't have environmentalists, I believe they're saying. But, like, this just wasn't included in an important government document. You know, it's not like there are people standing on the side of the road opposing the A5 on climate grounds. You know, the objectors found that flaw in the planning process, which arguably should never have happened. A couple of requests, if you don't mind, as we do around about this time. And if you want someone's request or name included in this part of the show, please feel free to get it into us. We normally get a few requests played around about 10, and they're normally special ones, actually. But all birthdays are special. And these are for a very special lady whose name is Susan Devlin. And Susan is from Clonmany, and she's 92 years old today. And wait till you hear this. She's a mother of 16, a grandmother of 35, and a great-grandmother of 31, and a great-great-grandmother of 1. What an amazing family that you have, Susan. 16 kids of her own, 35 grandchildren, 31 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandmother. Have a fabulous day from all of us here at Highland Radio, and everyone listening, of course, Susan, but particularly from those that sent this in for you, Stephen, Katrina, Bobby, and Ben. And more nice wishes for you, Susan, this time coming in from Elizabeth, Geraldine, Eddie, and James. Have a wonderful day. How many presents do you get when you've got that many of a family? Just adding it up here, right? Between children and grandchildren, 35 and 31 is 66, 67, 77, 83. So imagine having 83 children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, and a great-great-grandchild. 73, that is remarkable. Brilliant stuff.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic, and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Okay, it is Tuesday the 24th of June, 18 minutes past 10. Time for this week's Community Garda information item. And delighted to welcome into studio Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Grainne, off the back of a really busy weekend, personally and for the force, of course. We'll talk about that a little later on, if that's okay. But we'll focus on appeals for now. And a burglary at Goland in Ballybuffet.
Yes, Gardaí, you're appealing for information in relation to this incident. A burglary had occurred at Goland Ballybuffet between 6 p.m. on Sunday the 15th of June and 6:30 p.m. on Sunday the 22nd of June. This incident was only recently discovered and reported to Gardaí. A garage at that property was entered via an unlocked roller door. Three chainsaws were stolen from within, two Husqvarna chainsaws and a Tanica chainsaw. So we're just appealing to anybody who might have observed suspicious activity or vehicles in that area between those dates, or should they come across similar type tools for sale on a second-hand basis, we're asking them to alert Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
Okay. Now, burglary in Downings.
Yes, this happened at a house in the area of Larganrae, Downings. So I believe that's on the Carrigart Road, just on the way into Downings itself. Happened after 4:05 a.m. on the morning of Monday, the 23rd of June. So a homeowner discovered a man asleep upstairs in his house. He woke this man. The man became aggressive, but he did leave the property. He took a gear bag belonging to the homeowner as he left the house. So it's believed that entry might have been gained to this house via a downstairs toilet window. We're appealing to anybody who might have been in that area between 3 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. Should anybody have observed a man on foot in that area either in the early hours of Monday morning, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Milford on 91-53060.
And whilst it is in the middle of the night, like many places, it was busy enough at that time. There probably were people out and about on the roads.
So or on foot either, going home from a night out themselves, or taxis in the area. So we're hopeful somebody might have seen this man.
All right, criminal damage now in Dunfanaghy.
Yes, so this happened at a vacant house that's under construction in the area of Kildonfanahy on Wednesday the 18th of June, shortly before 10 p.m. So Gardaí attended the scene. I believe the fire wasn't long in progress at that stage, and they managed to extinguish the fire. So the fire services then attended to ensure that the building was safe. So it hasn't been ruled out that this fire might have been started maliciously. So we're anxious to speak with anybody who may have travelled in that area, along the N56 in particular, with a dash cam between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. on that date, if they could make that footage available to us. If anybody can assist with relevant information, we're asking them to contact Ballyshannon Garda Station on 071 985 8530, and as with all our appeals today, the Garda confidential line can be contacted on 1800 666 111.
Now let's discuss criminal damage in Moville.
Yes, this incident occurred at a car park at the Glen Crow area of Moville on Thursday the 19th of June between 12:15 p.m. and 12:30 p.m. So quite a short time period there. That car was parked up at that location for those 15 minutes. And when the owner of the car returned, they discovered that considerable damage had been caused. The side of the car, the passenger side, had been keyed the whole length of the car. We're appealing to anybody who might have witnessed this incident to get in touch with us. We're also appealing again to anybody who might have had a dash cam. As with all of our appeals, we're always looking for dash cam footage. It's invaluable to us. Should anybody have that, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540.
Yeah, and that's early afternoon. Obviously, sometimes I get a bit confused with PM and AM just after 12, but it was just before lunchtime on Thursday the 19th of June. Horrible thing to have done to you. It has to be said. Right, okay, Ranafast, criminal damage there.
Yes, and again, this was only recently discovered and reported to Gardaí. So this incident occurred at Kalash Devrija in Ranafast between the 11th and the 15th of June. An outer building, or a shed, a storage shed, I believe, at the college was entered between those dates, and damage was caused to glass window panels and interior light switches. We're appealing to anybody who might have observed any type of suspicious activity on the grounds of that college between those dates to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. And again, the Garda confidential line, 1800 666 111, is always available.
Now, two instances of criminal damage being investigated in Lifford.
Yes, these occurred on the 21st of June, Saturday the 21st. So the first incident involved a driver who was travelling at the Haw Lifford, that's on the N15, so coming into Lifford from the Castle Finn side, at approximately 9:15 p.m. when an oncoming Lexus, a brown coloured Lexus, slowed down. A male, I believe he was standing up out of an open sunroof in that car, and he threw two glass bottles at this driver's car, causing damage, considerable damage to the front bumper. The Lexus then travelled onwards again in the direction of Castle Finn. Then a short time later, in around 9:23 p.m. on that same date, a driver was travelling outbound from Lifford on the N14. They were on the Letterkenny Road. They met an oncoming dark-coloured Lexus IS 200. And again, a similar type of an incident. A beer bottle was thrown from the passenger side rear window of this Lexus, and it collided with this driver's windscreen, causing it to crack. So we're appealing to anybody who might have travelled on the N14 or the N15, the Castlefin Road into Lifford, or the Letterkenny Road out of it, or in and around Lifford town itself, on June 21st between 9 p.m. and 9:30 with a dash cam to make that footage available to Gardaí. And again, look, if anybody observed either of these two incidents occurring, or if they've any relevant information that could assist with our investigation, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91 67 100.
And of course, you have to be it's an ongoing investigation. Careful with your terminology. Would it be suspected that they might be linked,
it hasn't been ruled out that they may be linked? And of course,
but there could have been a lot of dark colored Lexuses as well. I understand that.
I know we're always appealing for dash cam footage and this and that, but that doesn't mean that we're not doing the behind the scenes work. Also, I think sometimes people query, you know, why can't you check footage here and there? That is done as a matter of procedure.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
the
local
stuff,
businesses and houses.
But listen, I mean, in case it's not obvious, if something happens outside a business or a home, they might have an outdoor security camera, a Ring camera. Obviously, the Gardaí go and say, can we have access to your footage? Cars are fleeting. You could be travelling through that area. You could be from Dunloe. How could a guard or the Gardaí canvas you? So obviously, you use platforms like this to say, were you in that area? Do you have it? Because it's in addition to the usual policing processes that you follow, I'm sure. Right, we're getting close now, are we? We are, in fact, to the close of nominations for the Garda Youth Awards. Hopefully there's been a good reaction to this. We do tend to leave things late as well, too, in this county, so always good to give it a mention, Grainne.
Yeah, so we've had a few nominations have arrived in the last few days, so I just want to highlight it because the closing date is drawn close now. So, yeah, the annual Donegal Garda Youth Awards celebrate outstanding young people between the ages of 13 and 21 from right across the county of Donegal. The process is now open and we're inviting the public to nominate a young person or young people, a group of young people that they know who are committed to making a difference in their community. So nominations must be received by 12 p.m. on Wednesday, July 2nd to be considered. You can request a nomination form from any Garda station or you can visit www.garda.ie. You can download it from there. And if you want to check out our Garda Facebook page, the Garda Síochána Donegal page, full details are on there of how to obtain a form and how to submit it.
It's the simplest way, to be honest with you, isn't it? It's all there. You know where it's there. It's the Facebook page is there. Right. So just to recap, any person, young person that is nominated is recognised. And then from that, there is various categories that various individuals will be chosen into, so to speak. And, you know, your community can be your home, it can be your neighbours, it can, you know what I mean? It's communities, a broad church. So if there's a young person in your life that is doing something, then get your form, nominate them. I don't want to give... sometimes I think when you give examples, then people might go, well, my young person's not in that category. But if they're making a positive contribution, please get them recognised because it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It goes on a CV as well. I'd stick it straight in my CV if I was recognised in such an award. So there's lots of benefits and positives to it.
We do get a lot of nominations in every year from youth groups, youth leaders, teachers, and they're all welcomed, of course. Yeah. But parents also, you know, there's nothing to stop you nominating your own young person, you know, so that, you know, do that if you think that they deserve recognition.
Yeah. For sure. Right. The feedback I've got from the rally weekend is, A, it was hugely successful, notwithstanding the inconvenience and the noise that some people suffer. And I'm not in any way belittling that. But from a policing perspective, overall, people well behaved, people, you know, listening to the instructions of Gardaí, etc. That's the feeling I'm getting, but you were literally on the ground.
I was.
Is that how it went down?
I was. I have sore feet today from all the walking the weekend. But, you know, it was. I found it to be a very positive experience over the weekend. And I was on the beach for a lot of hours over the weekend. So it was very busy, as it always is every year. We'll just give out a few of the stats from the weekend first. So 90 arrests were made across the Donegal division, not just in Letterkenny, but that's right across Donegal, for various types of offences, Thursday to Monday inclusive. One arrest was made on Thursday, 17 on Friday, and usually every year the Saturday is that bit busier. So 47 arrests were made on Saturday and 25 arrests on Sunday. 30 of these 90 arrests were made in connection with drink drug driving offences. So across Donegal over the weekend, there were 51 public order incidents, 12 dangerous driving incidents, 30 drink drug driving related incidents, and 45 vehicles were seized. And again, look, this is only a snippet or an example of some of the incidents that Gardaí dealt with over the weekend. Regular policing goes on also behind, you know, it's not just all roads policing related. Yeah. Yeah,
so but we know the baselines, and I think it just talks to a high level of drink and drug driving, but a high level of detection as well. 30 drink and drug driving related instances. I would not be surprised at all if the majority of those were drug driving. And 45 vehicles were seized. So it's not like people weren't warned. They were talked, you know, we talked about modifications. We talked about tints and the importance of a car being NCT taxed and insured. You know what I mean? But obviously... 45 vehicles seized is a big enough old number, isn't it?
That's quite a high number. And we did discuss last week the Section 109A of the Road Traffic Act 1961, where the vehicle can be seized if it's being used or suspected that it will be used in a dangerous manner. And then in cases like that, you know, the owner of the car has to apply to the judge of the district court then to get their vehicle back. This happened last year also, and people were then left without their vehicle for the course of the weekend. you know. So quite
talk to us then a little bit about the policing operation then that happened over the weekend.
Yeah, well, we dealt with, look, there was numerous incidents, so those outlined also, but we dealt with many types of incidents, as we do on a daily basis anyway, you know, when the rally isn't taking place. So alleged assaults, there were drug searches, drug detections, road traffic collisions, criminal damage incidents, burglaries, thefts, domestic calls and mental health related calls. The rally drew massive crowds into the county, but most especially, as always, Letterkenny was thronged at the weekend. You know, it always draws massive crowds into the town here. An extensive operation, policing operation, was in place for the event, but there was a separate operation then in place also for the town itself. So the public order units were out. They were out in patrol every night. Roads policing units were in patrol day and night. They were operating checkpoints, speed checks. Motorcyclists from the roads policing units were out patrolling. And of course then regular uniformed guard members were out in the beat and on bikes conducting patrols and just responding to regular calls as well as rally related calls. The Garda helicopter, I'm sure everybody's seen it hovering around over the weekend, it was there. And we also had a detector dog with the Revenue Customs Service up over the weekend also, which was of great assistance to us. And we were also very grateful to have the assistance of some of our reserve Garda members over the weekend. We're always grateful for their assistance at major events. We'd just like to say a thank you to everybody who came to Donegal at the weekend and who complied with the law, and that is the vast majority of the visitors that arrived at the weekend. You know, we have to stress that it's only a small cohort of people who come, and they arrive every year and they've no intention of abiding by any sort of rules, and that's a very small minority of the people that arrive. For the most part, we enjoyed engaging with the many visitors to the county. And of course, why not? In the lovely sunshine, you know, the weather couldn't have been better.
You just short sleeves and everything.
Yeah. And I'll actually, what I'll tell you, a funny one just before I go. Over the, it made me, myself, didn't do myself esteem any favours, I'll tell you. It's just, we did enjoy. Well, I enjoyed engaging with them, and I'm sure the rest of them did too. But I had a group of lads there from Tyrone, and we were having a great old banter, great chat on the street. And I was giving them directions around to different places, and I happened to drop into conversation. This was on the Friday, that my birthday was on the Saturday.
Yes, happy birthday, yeah, by the way.
Thank you. And of course, one of them then, what age are you tomorrow? And I told him my age. I'll not be saying that on air, but I told him my age. Well, the look of disgust on his face, he says, my mother's only 1 year older than you. That was it. That was the conversation stopped. They took off. They were disgusted at me.
Can I flip that around, though? Can I flip that around? He thought you were so youthful. He thought you were so youthful, and then when he learned that you were potentially the same age as his mum, he felt like you had catfished him. Put in reverse.
Well, I think we were just having such a laugh. We were having such a laugh that then he was so disgusted with himself.
I'm
having
age,
the crack with someone who's practically the same age as my mother, so I didn't do myself esteem.
But do you know what was nice? I thought what was nice for the whole policing operation was just to chuck in a full house at McCool Park on Sunday.
Oh yeah,
I think that was just a real bonus.
That was great timing, all right. Yeah, but I think now it went smoothly. You know, it went a lot of people were aware, of course, in advance, and they left extra time.
But
for
the
their
funny
journey,
thing
yeah.
is what's different, and even yesterday you saw it. I think, and I don't think you can ever have a traffic plan to deal with it or whatever. Is when you get traffic that just wants to go around the town. So in other words, like, you know, I think, you know, like roundabouts and stuff, they don't really necessarily function well when people are just cruising around the place.
No,
do you know what I mean?
It jams so them up, they get blocked up fairly quickly. They do, yeah. No, well, look, it was a very positive weekend. And of course, as always, I say it every year, we're looking forward to doing it all again in 2026.
Yes, congratulations to the Gardaí on their great work this weekend. It was one of the best rallies that I was ever at. It was a lot of stages and there was a good Garda presence. Very well done, Gardaí. They took no nonsense. So there you go. But as you say, I was engaging with a few of them as well that were up and about. And they're nice. They're, you know, they're even the young ones that aren't necessarily interested in the rally but love their cars, they're nice. Overwhelming majority of them are just nice young people who love their cars.
And just to know this, they were very happy to stop. When they did see us out in patrol, they'd come over and they'd have a chat and have a laugh with us. You know, and it was great. It was lovely to see.
Okay. Thankfully, no rally-related major instances report either too, which is always what it's all about. All of the policing, all of the stuff we talk about, that's what it's all about. It's keeping people safe, isn't it, Grainne? I mean, you know, that's what it's all about. All right, thanks so very much indeed. That's Garda Grainne Doherty. And that was Community Garda Information for this Tuesday, the 24th of June. It's back with you live on the 9 till noon show after 10 o'clock next Tuesday. You'll be able to listen back to it on the podcast, of course, from about half 12, and it'll be on our socials and the Garda Show socials a little later on. And just to remind you, I'll put it on my own social media as well. If you have a young person in your life that you believe deserves recognition, get onto the Garda Síochána Conn and Donegal Facebook page and download a form and get them nominated. It's a wonderful thing to do for our wonderful young people. All right, welcome back. Good luck to the Irish Deaf Futsal Ladies team going into the semi-finals against Brazil at 2:30pm Irish time today after beating England 6-3 on Sunday morning in the quarterfinals in Italy. Two of the girls are from Donegal. Always good to beat England 6-2. Good luck against Brazil. A caller says, good morning, Greg. I think it's scandalous that game is on Saturday. The players must be absolutely exhausted. And it's so disrespectful to the players and the entire Donegal squad who've given us endless entertainment all year. It would have been a better decision to have a double header Sunday, one game at 1:45 and the other at 4, preferably Meath v Galway and Monaghan v Donegal. But it is what it is. And we'll just have to show them all on the field what a great team we are. Another, the GEA afraid of Donegal going, giving us just a 6-day turnaround. They're hoping it works against us as they can have the teams they want into the semi-final. I think they'd love Donegal in the semi-finals. We're going to get some reaction to it. Eamon McGee is going to be joining us, our own Oisin Kelly, very shortly. But firstly, we'll go to the chair of the Donegal County Board, Mary Coughlin. And Mary, it's one of those, isn't it? I mean, we want to make representations. We want to be fair. But of course, the Donegal naysayers are saying that we're always moaning. Obviously, you know, there was some upset of us having to travel down to Roscommon for that game with Mayo and now we have this situation. But I suppose if we are feeling that things are working against us, we sort of have to back ourselves, don't we, and say, you know, is it fair?
Well, look, Greg, there's a couple of things now. The first thing is we had a fantastic game at the weekend and the boys showed and proved what a great team they were, because Louth were Leinster champions coming up to Donegal to face the Ulster champions. A spectacle in itself. And we did very, very well. And there's a lot of teams in this country now who wish they were in our position, that they're going to Croke Park in a quarter final. We want to play at the highest level within Ulster and within the country and afford our men and our team the opportunity to excel. And that's what we want to do. And that's where we want to be. And I think it's important to be positive. We've had huge capacity crowds. We had over 15,000 in Ballybuffet. Very well run, fair play to everybody. I want to take that chance now to thank the guards, to thank McCool Club, our supporters, the Louth people came up. They were very happy with how things were done. And all our volunteers that helped out on that day to make it such a great occasion. But look, at the end of the day, we wrote in, which we're entitled to do, which every club will do, if something arises, they want to play in a particular day, and you put your best foot forward and you put up your reasons as to why you want to do this. There's a bigger debate on welfare of players, and that has all been done in the context of the discussions and the work that's going on the amateur status of the GAA. And I think we park that as an overarching discussion that's going to take place during the summer and into special Congress. But look, we made representations on the basis that we thought if they played on Saturday, you might play on Saturday this weekend. If you play on Sunday, you play on Sunday of the weekend. So that's the representations that we made. Look, everybody has something to say. We gathered from a lot of our supporters that they were very concerned about the time frame. And this is not coming from the team. This is not coming from management. This is coming from the county board. And we had a discussion last night about it. And we agreed a statement and it stands on its own 2 feet. But we're here now to support the lads. We're going to play Monaghan, who are very good in themselves, an excellent team, very tough Ulster team. And we are preparing now to ensure that we put our best foot forward and take the opportunity to ask our supporters to come out on Saturday as best possible to support the team.
And often, you know, fans might focus on whether or not the team might be tired and how that might affect the performance, etc. And now we know they're incredibly fit, don't get me wrong. But also, too, no matter how fit you are, there is a toll. You know, and perhaps maybe the GEA could have considered, do you think, more the actual welfare of the players, not their ability to perform, but actually the toll playing so many games in such quick succession might actually have on them, you know, their physical the physical well-being. And they had the latitude to sort of give these guys an extra day.
Well, look, that was the argument that we put forward, and we asked it to be considered. And I know that the CCCC had a difficult decision to make. They have given their consideration, and they've indicated the reasons why they weren't in a position to accede to our request. I am heartfelt sure that all the other teams wrote in from their county boards as well, and I'm sure they were all considered. But look, at anything to do with the team, I don't interfere. The county board don't interfere. That is what Jim and his management look after, and all of the backroom team. They support our team. They support our players. They are psychologically at the highest level at this moment in time. They are determined to go forward. They have that ambition. They have that capacity. And they're dogged. And we saw that in Ballybuffet, that they were prepared to do what was necessary. We saw it in Roscommon. And I don't interfere with anything that the team does inside, as I'm sure no other county chair does either. Our job is to reflect, I suppose, the supporters' considerations and their views. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. And we were of the opinion that we needed to say that in case there was any lack of clarity, that we did request a Sunday, but on this occasion it didn't work.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
And
this
now
is the end of it.
Exactly.
We're moving on. We're concentrating on Dublin, going to Dublin. We're concentrating on playing Monaghan. And, you know, we have the capacity to win, but this will all be down now to Jim, to all of his people that he has around him, and down to our team. So we're there to support them in every way possible that we can. Mm-hmm. And it has been acknowledged by the team that that support has been hugely beneficial to them.
Mary Coughlan, thank you so much for your time, Chair of the Donegal County Board. Listen, very shortly, we're going to be looking forward to the game. Ossian and the team will do the usual build-up. We'll be positive. We'll get the flags out. Up, Donegal. But for now, let's have a moan and get it out of our system. Ossian Kelly, WTF.
Listen, have the moan. Where do we start? First of all, our chairperson, Mary Coughlan, is 100% right. We now need to focus what the next task is at hand. Yesterday evening, we could do all the moaning we wanted.
No. We'll stop the moaning after this segment.
Okay, as I was saying, right? You want me to moan? I think it is very, very unfair on Donegal on how it has been laid out to them now in the quarterfinals. They've played more games than anybody else, Greg, in a short period of time, which is 11 to 12 weeks. They've played 8 championship matches. It's 11 to 12 weeks. They were the last of the prelim games out on Sunday, and now they find themselves 6 days later playing the first of the quarterfinals at Croke Park. Now, obviously, there is a number of factors. Donegal had requested a Sunday match. They had put their reasonings across why. What I've just said there is perfectly fine as a legitimate reason. Eamon will talk more, I'm sure, on welfare of players, because he'll know a lot more of it than what I will. But Brendan Kilcoy made a point last night. Now, he stands to be corrected on the DL debate that we now have 12 teams in a quarter-final stage, which includes prelims. And he thought that never before has a team who has reached the quarter-final stage been asked to play 6 days later. Mm. And that has now changed, if it is the case, and it's going to be Donegal. But what's going to happen after this weekend, Greg, is when they do get to Congress, a decision will be made. The teams won't be playing 6 days later. So Donegal is going to be the only team in the quarterfinal series for this to happen.
But one of the deciding factors here, GEA Go or GEA Plus and RT divvying up the games, of course?
The television. Obviously, they have rights to broadcast games, and they will have a say in it. There's no doubt the national broadcaster will have a say in it.
A GEA Plus saying we want the games where the teams are furthest away because we'll get more £12.
Well, I'm only speculating here.
That's fine, and so again,
I'll stand to be corrected, but I am sure that the national broadcaster has had a say in what games they want. Armagh Kerry, no doubt, is the biggest game of the weekend because it's the defending All-Ireland champions against contenders. One of the big boys are going to go at the weekend, so that's one that they want. And they looked at the other matches and probably they felt that, you know what, Galway and Meath is a better suit to us on Sunday. Like, on the Saturday, Greg, three of the four counties involved are all coming the one direction. So they're all coming in from the one side, and it's going to carry huge support.
Yeah.
And obviously, maybe RTÉ looked at Donegal Monaghan and thought, right, that's not a game that we feel would suit our broadcast. So that is one factor. The CCC have other decisions to make, so they do what they are. I'm not privy to it, but they have made the decision. We have to move on with it. But the general consensus is from everybody that's following Donegal now that this is unfair. But the only way to answer it is to step up to the plate and win a match on Sunday. Yeah. But it's a tall order. It's another huge test on the team, and it's throwing another spanner in the works. And Jim has been very vocal about where games have been scheduled and timeframes and different things over the last number of weeks, and rightly so. But they have to get on with it. But it is unfair. There's no doubt about it. It is unfair.
Eamon McGee, former intercounty footballer, still active, of course. Eamon, you know, this was avoidable. That's the thing. You know, like Donegal could have had the last game on Sunday. We might have been having a different conversation then about supporters getting back for work on Monday and so on and so forth. But in terms of player welfare, does 7 days make a big difference to six? And I suppose your overall opinion on this decision?
Listen, first of all, just chat about the player welfare. I think that, you know, one day the lads will go and they'll actually do the recovery. The recovery started, you know, minutes after the Loud game, and it was just a process of getting them over to convoy, getting grub into them, and Sunday there's recovery. So, you know, come Tuesday, come Wednesday, the body should be feeling right. Mentally is another question. And it's about trying to get up for that's the challenge for Jim, is trying to help the lads get up for the pitch of things, because the GA calendar is so different now, whether before, and a lot of these players are used to the previous calendar where you had a few weeks to kind of deflate, get yourself up again, and then get ready for it. But now you just have to be consistently at the pitch of things. So that's the challenge. And I think one day, you know, you have to take into consideration the travel on the Friday. Lads are working. It seems a lot of people in Dublin don't know that Donegal is far away. The bus driver for Loud didn't even know where the Donegal was. So I the second thing is disrespect. I think it's extremely disrespectful to Donegal GA. And what played into this here, and what took precedence over player welfare and, you know, the Donegal GA was TV, GA Plus, and RTÉ, and then there's a money aspect. And I think there's also a large aspect of this here where they're putting the two fingers up to Jim and saying, listen, you be quiet. And I think that's what rankles me a lot, is that you see it most days, Greg, and let the fact speaks for itself, but Donegal is neglected. And I think it would be naive to think that attitude doesn't seep into other organisation if that's led from the top. You know, obviously people in Dublin are going to be thinking the same. And I think that's a play here. And when Jim was firing back after a few games, there's nearly a thing where just be quiet.
Do you believe that, Eamon, that the CCCC and Croke Park are sitting going with one channel of all this and fixing matches going, well, we'll sort Donegal out here? Is that something that you firmly believe?
100% genuinely believe that. Now, in terms of percentages, it's not the overriding thing, but I think there's an aspect of it, like, that I've seen this before in other, you know, parts of the GA. And I 100% believe that there's a part of.
But you're talking about the top level of the organization here, so you are, Eamon.
The top level. The good thing about the GA, and maybe it's a bad thing too, is that it's the Oisin Kellys, it's the Ian McGee's. the same faults that we have, that the top of the GA have, and the same grudges and the same, you know, and I 100%, I would take a lot for me to anybody to convince me that there's not someone up there saying, listen, Donegal need to know their place here. Jim McGuinness needs to know their place there, and that's what I believe.
I'm with Eamon on this, to be honest, because I think some of this is endemic. I think it's built in.
And just on that, Greg. Sorry for cutting across. People outside the county are saying whingers and moaners. Who else is going to speak up for Donegal? Because no one. We've seen this over decades of us just going, know your place, Donegal. Except you're just below us, you're not on our radar, and when you step up, you're whingers. And I think it's perfectly reasonable by Jim, perfectly reasonable by Mary Coughlin to put in, you know, that letter last night, that released that statement and say stand up for themselves, because I, for one, I'm fed up of in all aspects of, you know, government, of the GAA, of different organisations looking down their nose at Donegal, and we need to have a good one. We need to have a moan and, you know, push back on this.
You're not as convinced, Ash, but I mean, if you look at it, of all the scenarios, the worst case scenario was dished out to Donegal again.
Yeah.
And as Eamon quite rightly said there, as soon as we try and back ourselves, it's instantly down to Donegal whinging again. But no other county in this entire island has more reason to whinge on different things.
Oh, I get that. And I'm firmly believe standing up for yourself. And as I said it, Greg, the way Donegal have been treated in this situation, again, is very unfair. I thought Hyde Park was very unfair. Now, what was the reason for sending it to Hyde Park? Maybe there's certain officials from that area that were a factor in it. I don't know. And maybe it was, listen, we can't, I find it hard to say, has it been set up in a way to suit Mayo that day? I don't know. But obviously, Eamon firmly believes that it's the GAA against Donegal. You're of the same case. I can question some of that, so I can. Mm. And again, I do think this is very, very unfair on Donegal, what they have done. There's factors in it. There definitely is factors in it now, but...
No, listen, Austin, I know that there's factors, there's financial aspects, you know, in terms of attendances. There's the TV thing, the GAA are trying to promote GAA+. But Brendan Kilcoyne's actually right. He's 100% right. There's no other team that have come out from the preliminary 6 days later. Why is Donegal, the Donegal that have made all the noise, why is it Donegal suddenly now the first team to be taking on that mantle?
So were we factored in last to all of this scenario because they wanted the big game Armagh.
Donegal Monaghan is a very, don't forget that GAA Plus now solely owned by GAA. Yeah. Donegal Monaghan's a very attractive game for them.
Oh, we're talking about the scheduling of the Sunday here and the Saturday.
Yeah, but there's more 12 euros in Donegal Monaghan early on a Saturday.
Yeah, but so they, from a player welfare point of view, that's what we're talking about, that how much an extra day would mean to Donegal, who actually have to travel further than anybody else. It's not that they get in a bus on a Saturday and they go straight to a ground.
But 7 days, like, is seen as the window of recovery, is it not?
7 days is seen as a window of recovery, but the schedule is that grueling. So it is at the minute. Now, Donegal have had an extra game too than four of the other teams that are in the quarterfinals. Like, they've had a shorter window, rather, is what I'm trying to say, than Monaghan have had, Greg. Mm. But we're talking about the 7 days here, moving away from six to seven, and player welfare, and what the factors in the decision was to put Donegal on first. So obviously the big game was going to be on national TV. They picked that, and then the other game was picked. So we looked at the other scenario. Why could we not put those two games on the Saturday and move the Saturday games to the Sunday? But Dublin, obviously, I'm sure, had a say in what day they wanted to play. And they love playing on a Saturday evening. They were always going to get that.
But you see, that talks to exactly what Eamon said. If Dublin has a say on when they play, I mean, that says it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to come in here, like, we were kind of laughed at and told to be quiet a few years ago when we put forward a proposal that there was a Super 8, if Ashley can remember it, that Dublin were to play their neutral game
Outside of Croke Park.
Park. And we were laughed at and we were told to cop on and, you know, we were whingers again. And that actually is wrong true. What we said at the time was 100% true. And what we're saying is we're not asking for anything radical. We're asking for fair play.
Okay.
And we're being told to know our place. Like, stop the whingers.
And there's another thing just finally on top of this. Like, Donegal are playing 3 All-Ireland Championship games in 3 weeks. Like, that's bonkers, Greg.
Mm, okay.
That's where the scheduling is totally wrong.
All right, Eamon McGee, thanks very much.
The best way to answer all this is 1 on Saturday.